Sometimes it's hard to be obedient in a good way, man. Brother Ellison, I'd like to just have your wife continue playing and get down and just worship and meditate and pray. That's what I would like to do. But I'm supposed to preach, so that's what I'll do. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, tonight, we're going to be setting the stage kind of for, when I say a series, I'm going to be preaching along these lines probably often here for just a little while. I don't necessarily say it's going to be a series of messages and, you know, every service from here on out for a month and a half is going to be dealing with this subject. But I really felt impressed before I had a conversation with some folks, and then especially during it, that there's some things that we need to be getting pointed back to. And as I've been begin to open up my heart to see how the Lord would want that to start to happen, He laid this message on my heart, and I feel very unprepared, because not that I wasn't preparing for the message, but I made it a lot more involved. And then I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to try to condense this a little bit so I can preach more of it, Sister Davis, so we can kind of focus on each little section instead of having necessarily 3 points. I just want to kind of focus on one. And homiletically, that's difficult, because then you got to try to make it to where it's more structured. But Lord help me, and I feel like we're going to get somewhere. But that's the thought. I don't mean to ramble, but that's the thought that I really want you to have. Tonight, we are just setting the stage to see the seriousness of the subject that we're going to be talking about. That's what we're going to pray about tonight. Lord, help me to see the seriousness of this subject that we started talking about tonight. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, He is precious. Amen. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Man, I like the end of verse 9. That has called you out of darkness. Do you remember what that darkness was like? He's called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And I want to preach to you for a little while tonight on getting used to the dark. Getting used to the dark. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord. And we ask that You would come down by Your power and Your spirits, as You've already started to do, and move and minister in each one of our hearts and lives. Lord, tonight we need to see the seriousness of what the Word of God has to say about this subject that we're going to be dealing with, that You've laid very specifically on my heart. Lord, I pray that around the altars it would be solidified, and that we would go out and make sure that Your will is accomplished in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Getting used to the dark. Now, have you ever noticed how some people seem to get used to things, even when the things that they find themselves getting used to are bad? Have you ever seen that? I mean, for instance, there's people that have severe handicaps and physical limitations that they're forced to go through life with. And while I'm sure that they never learn to like those things, I mean, I've seen people that I even know personally that despite all of that hardship and adversity that they have in their physical body, I mean, they learn to go through life just fine. And while they never learn to like it, I mean, they seem to deal with it regardless of their infirmities. I mean, for instance, there's this guy in Brazil that was born with absolutely no arms. And he learned how to play the 6-string acoustic guitar with his feet. And he plays it good. How's that even possible? I mean, seriously. I mean, here he has this tremendous setback, and he plays guitar with his feet better than most people do with their hands, but he don't even have any. Or what about that famous Christian lady named Johnny Erickson Tata, or Tata, I don't know how you pronounce her last name. But you know who I'm talking about? I mean, she became a quadriplegic after she dove into a body of water that was much too shallow to be, you know, for a person to dive in. And what happened is she broke her neck in the process, and now she's paralyzed from the shoulders down. Can't move anything below her shoulders. And yet, despite that tremendous handicap, she's become a very accomplished artist by learning to put a paintbrush in her teeth and just move her head around and paint her paintings. And if that wasn't impressive enough, she's authored over 40 books, made multiple music CDs, starred in a motion picture about her own life. So, I mean, here she's got tremendous handicaps and setbacks in life as far as her physical body's concerned, and yet she's learned how to deal with it pretty good. I was at a time, I remember, at Front Porch Music in Valparaiso. And it's a really, Brother Moore, you'd like it. It's a good acoustic guitar store. And got nice Martins, Larrivee. I mean, they got good stuff there. And anyway, I was in there. And the owner, I didn't know it was the owner because he came in. And I don't mean this offensive, but he wasn't dressed real nice. Just old flannel shirt, some old carpenter pants and stuff. And sat down and grabbed this triple O Martin and pulls it down. And starts finger picking some old, you know, like folk stuff. You know, keeping the bass going and the melody and the rhythm. And I was thinking, man, this guy is good. So I started talking to him, and I was trying to get some tips. And I said, I've been trying to learn how to play like that. You know, what are you doing here? And he was showing me. I grabbed a guitar, and I was trying to follow along. And he did this one thing, and it was a big stretch. And I've got pretty little hands. And I made the comment. I said, oh, I'm not going to be able to do that unless I capo down the neck because I don't have very big hands. And he got disgusted with me. I mean, instantly, invisibly so, he was upset. And I thought, what in the world? He goes, oh, you need to quit making your excuses. And he was a real nice guy, and I knew that he wasn't. And I thought, man, what in the world did I do, Sister Davis? You know. And he says, as a matter of fact, there's a guy here that works at our store that plays the bass professionally that was born with fingers no longer than our first joint. And he plays on studio records, so don't tell me that your limitations keep you from making the stretch. There's my next door neighbor, if you're looking at my house to the right. You'd never know it, but he doesn't have a leg underneath his knee. I don't know what happened to him. I've never had the guts to ask him. I'd like to, because the reason is, you know, he's got one of those metal ones that you see nowadays, and he always wears pants, and I didn't even know that he didn't have a leg underneath the knee because he goes out and he mows his lawn, push mowing, rides a motorcycle, does everything a normal person does. And I didn't know until he had shorts on during the summertime after we moved there. So it's obvious that some people have learned to live in the midst of some very unfortunate circumstances. And while I'm sure that they haven't learned to like them, they've learned to deal with them pretty good. In other words, they've gotten used to the unfortunate circumstances that they found themselves in, only in a good way. But while some unfortunate circumstances can't be helped and they are completely out of our control, much like the things that I was just talking about, there's still a lot of bad circumstances that people find themselves in and even find themselves growing accustomed to that could be helped if they only wanted them to be. She didn't mean to jump in that water and break her neck. That guy didn't make the decision, hey, God, I'd like to be born with no arms. There's some things that you just can't help. But there's some things that are very unfortunate that people find themselves right in the middle in that could be helped but aren't necessarily even desired to see any help because they're so accustomed to it. In other words, the reason that some people are facing the unfortunate circumstances that they face isn't because their circumstances are inevitable, but it's because they've been accepted and tolerated. Simply put, their circumstances could be remedied if they just learned to stand up and refuse to participate anymore. And just by taking a look around you will cause you to see exactly what I mean. Because never before in our nation's history have things looked as bleak and as dismal from a Christian or even a general moral standpoint in the entire history of our nation. Things right now are as bad as they have ever been. Hands down. Now, you might have a different opinion. I know there's a lot of people that study history. I think that it's as bad right now in our entire world as it's ever been. Roman Empire included. That's just the way that I feel. But without doubt, in our nation today, in the United States of America, it is more dark and dismal and sinful right now in 2012 than it has ever been. The sad truth is from the White House all the way to the front porch, the darkness of this world is no longer lurking in the shadows. It's lounging in the limelight. In other words, the darkness of this world is no longer kept a secret, but now it's displayed as commonplace and it stands blatant and proud on the front line of our society for everybody to see. I mean, they don't try to hide it anymore. And it does it all with absolutely no shame. Want to know why? Because it's accepted. It does it all with absolutely no accountability, just about. You want to know why? Because nobody in our society seems to care. And the reason that this has happened is all because, unfortunately, our society has gotten used to it. They've gotten used to all of the ungodliness that surrounds them. They've grown accustomed to all the iniquity that very literally engulfs our world today. Simply put, just like the title of this message stated, they've gotten used to the darkness. You know, I don't know how, you know, some of you dads probably do the same thing, but especially when my girls are little, I like to have slumber parties with them. And what we'll do is, unfortunately, I got to sit through Strawberry Shortcake or some kind of goofy DVD like that. And we'll go down and we've got a sectional couch and I'll lay on one side, they'll lay on the other, and we'll go down there and we'll watch that. And they just love it, the dad spending time with them and watching their little girly movie and all these different things. Barbie and the Nutcracker, I've been through all this stuff, okay? So anyway, we're sitting there and we watch it, and then when it gets time to be, you know, the movie's done and it's late and things like that, I'll go over and I'll say, well, it's time to go to bed, and I'll shut the light off and I'll say, now, honey, what we need to do is we can talk for a while, but then we got to go to sleep. And I was, oh, okay, and especially when fun when they're about 4, 5, 6, you know. But whenever I shut that light off, every single one of my girls have said this, Daddy, I want you to turn the light back on. I said, well, why? And they said, well, because I'm scared of the dark. And I said, well, honey, your dad's laying right here. Nobody's going to come and get you. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, you've got Jason Kincaid for a dad. There's nothing to fear. Okay. And they lay there and they still worry and all that stuff. So one time I said to Cree, I said, well, honey, why don't you just keep your eyes open? And right now, even though you can't see your hand in front of your face, if you keep your eyes open and you keep looking around, even though it's really dark now, in a couple minutes, you'll be able to start seeing stuff a little bit clear. So that's what she did, and pretty soon she says, you know what, Dad, you're right. Now, why is that? It's because our eyes start to adjust. We become accustomed to the darkness that surrounds us that at first was really bad and we couldn't even see and it scared us half to death. We give you 15 minutes, man, it doesn't even bother you anymore. And that's exactly what's happened to our society today. They've been surrounded by the darkness of this world for so long that now they've just gotten used to it. And it's seriously gotten to the place that all the sin that's prevailing around people on a daily basis doesn't even bother people like it should. As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't even take notice of it anymore. But now it's just thought of as normal. It's just the way things are. I mean, it's just the way that it ought to be. I mean, that's what people think. I mean, folks, it's gotten to the place where the filthiness of this world doesn't even faze people anymore. Because like I said, they've grown accustomed to it. They've been conditioned to accept it. All in all, people today have gotten used to the dark. And because of it, the darkness of this world is prevailing all around us. See, we have to understand that the God of this world has very carefully planned an extremely deliberate and an extremely effective progression of sin that He has taken our society through. That year after year has grown more and more intense, and more frequent, and that has been so successful at tearing down the entire walls of morality that this world is supposed to be holding up, and it's been tearing them down piece by piece, that now there isn't even hardly anything left to stand up against it. And He's doing whatever He wills with whoever or whoever, whatever He wants. In other words, Satan has had a very definite plan that has followed a very definite progression, also that he could accomplish a very definite purpose. And we also need to understand that the devil has been very, very patient in carrying out this plan. And now all of his years of good old-fashioned hard work are paying off in a big way. I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, he started out his campaign in the Garden of Eden by very subtly, just simply whispering to Adam and Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die." And he's been pouring it on oh so gradually ever since. And he's continually increased his deception to a greater and greater degree to where now the results of his plan are ridiculous. Hear what I said? The results are ridiculous, and the reason that I say that is because they're raging all around us. Iniquity is everywhere. The fact of the matter is that as we speak, the results of His plan are in full effect, and they are gaining momentum every single day. His deception of society is not weakening, but it's almost as strong as it could possibly get right now. The motto of Satanism is "do what thou wilt." What's the watchword of today? You do what you want to do, I'll do what I want to do, and we'll leave each other alone. Satanism. That's the motto of Satanism. Did you know that? Do what thou wilt. And he isn't losing any ground or loosening up his grip, but the devil is developing such a stranglehold and a stronghold on society that what we're told in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 is very literally taking place right before our eyes. Because people all around us are falling into the snare of the devil and are being taken captive at his will, the Bible says. I mean, every time you think that things have gotten as bad as they could possibly get, and that surely the wickedness of this world could not possibly get any worse, guess what? It sure does, doesn't it? And just when you think that mankind has plunged themselves into such horrific depths of sin that they surely could never possibly seek any farther down, what do? They still do it, don't they? So it's obvious that Satan's plan has had its desired effect on our society, because the sad truth is multitudes of people are falling into this snare, and they're falling into it in a big way every single day. He's tricking somebody new with some new sin, causing society to become more and more desensitized to where people don't even care about wickedness. Extreme wickedness, and people don't even take notice. Brother Kaplan, it's going on right under everyone's nose and they don't even care. If you were to walk out and say, "Man, we live in a wicked world," people would say, "What's so wicked about it? We don't live in a big city." But what's even worse is it seems like the worse that things get, and the farther that people's sin starts to progress, the more and more they seem to become accustomed to it. And unfortunately, there's perfect examples of this taking place all around us, because regardless of which sin you might want to consider, it is absolutely unarguable that people are becoming more and more used to the dark. Okay, now we're going to look at four things tonight, and we could talk about all kinds of stuff. And this, I'm just trying to keep the seriousness and the introduction to this series into some kind of structure. So we're just going to look at four things, okay? For instance, one example we can see the progression of sin and how bad it's gotten compared to what it used to be is you can look at the movie industry, right? And you can notice the progression of what's considered to be acceptable language in Hollywood and on television. That's all we're going to look at. I mean, you're talking about Hollywood, man. I could preach for years. We're just going to look at acceptable language in movies. Because the progressions went from the ultra-controversial quote in Gone with the Wind. I'm not trying to be vulgar, and I'm not trying to bring, you know, naughty words into your mind, but frankly, Scarlett, when that took place, people were, they couldn't believe that they had went over the line. Hollywood's going too far. Did you hear that one word that they used? And now they use the most perverse and offensive curse words that could ever be possibly uttered, and it's just commonplace, even on regular TV. Now, I don't have a television. I have a TV that's not hooked up to an antenna. You know, my girls watch DVDs. I just said that. If there ain't nothing wrong with what you watch, there ain't nothing wrong with it. But I've been at people's houses because, like I say, a lot of times I don't live in a cave. And I've heard news broadcasters use worse language than what was used in Gone with the Wind. 16, 22, 28, you know, and that's the main channels, right? You know, all these political shows, I've heard them cuss on national television, not to mention what's allowed in the movies. They use the foulest words imaginable, and nobody even gives it a second thought. Why? Because folks are getting used to the darkness. Well, they don't talk half as bad on Fox News as what the people at my work do. Well, bless God. Seriously. I never thought in a million years, now I'm going to be 40 years old in about a week. I'm not that old a guy. I feel old sometimes just because I need to get in better shape. But really, I mean, let's think about when I was back in growing up in grade school, you know, grades 1 through 6, you never heard any of that kind of stuff. In my lifetime. Now it started getting a little bit more off color, but now you'll watch that stuff and they'll have sexual innuendos about every 15 seconds. I mean, when I sit over at people's house, they have the TV going on. I mean, when you go into somebody else's house, that's their house. I don't go in and make orders. I mean, that's their stuff or whatever. But I want to say, could you please just shut that off? And here's what they'd say. Well, it's the clean show. Really? Because I'm offended at how filthy it is. But people don't even question it. Well, it's not like that Eddie Murphy movie that, you know, used to be out or whatever. More and more desensitized. It's not as bad as. That's a sure sign that people are getting used to the dark. Do you remember, I'm seriously, look it up on the internet and read about the uproar that was caused by Gone with the Wind. One statement, one word. That I've heard people, as a matter of fact, somebody used it to me in this church within the last month. And they go, oh, I shouldn't have said that in front of you. Know. Well, you shouldn't have been saying it at all, you stinking reprobate. Society was going bananas, but now, oh, whatever, we'll just listen to whatever says. Hey, go ahead and turn on the news and we'll just go ahead. And we don't like the weather, we'll just cuss at it on the screen or whatever. People are getting used to the dark. Second thing we're going to look at is we can look at today's music for an example. Now, many people here can remember the dark days of rock and roll when musicians such as Elvis Presley and a band named the Beatles shocked the world with their long hair and their foul lyrics. Not to mention their naughty movements and their risky clothing. Parents were in an utter uproar. TV stations wouldn't show Elvis Presley from the waist down because they said he was vulgar in his movements. And there for a while, I mean, I realize it became accepted because that's what I'm preaching about tonight. But when that stuff first came out, they said, wait a second, look at these guys getting off this plane. And all they did is they just had hair like the Amish guys do around here, just a bowl cut. I mean, man, look at their hair. This is ridiculous. We can't allow this to go on. Look at Elvis Presley up there acting that way, singing about those things, shaking around like he does. I mean, this is blasphemous. We won't stand for it. And today there's bands out there that make those guys look like a bunch of forsaken Cub Scout leaders. to the point where if you'd go grab any of those youth back in the back, and you'd play a thing of the Beatles, and they're sitting there, I want to hold your hand, you know, and they're doing all that stuff, they'd say, why did anybody have a problem with this? They got short hair. They're not singing about anything bad. You know, today we've got bands with names like this, and I don't listen to these bands, obviously. But I got online today just to kind of see where things were. And here's some lovely names of the wonderful musicians that we have prevailing in our society. Morbid Angel. Cradle of Filth. Cannibal Corpse. Here's my favorite. Burn the Priest. Rotting Christ. Lucifer's Henchman, Lamb of God. I saw two teens one time down at the gas station that were wearing concert t-shirts by a band. It's a guy, but it's a band named Marilyn Manson. Maybe you guys have heard of them before. And I'm not mocking any of these bands. I want to see them saved because that Marilyn Manson used to go to an Assembly of God church, but he quit going because his youth group made him feel like a freak because obviously he was having struggles because look how he turned out, right? Okay. But instead of reaching out to him, they just shunned him and act like he was some kind of weirdo. Well, look where he's at today. I mean, the kid could have got saved when he had the chance. So I'm not mocking anybody. But they had these t-shirts on of this Marilyn Manson concert, and across the front it said, Antichrist Superstar. And on the back of the other kids, and I think it was Marilyn Manson, I don't know, but it said, say you love Satan, real big on the back. I started to look up the lyrics that some of these bands sing, but unfortunately, I mean, they are so disturbing and disgusting that I couldn't bring myself to read them, let alone read them to you. Unbelievable. I want you to think about that for a second. The English floor getting off the plane from Liverpool with their long hair, parents in an uproar. To where that Marilyn Manson, I worked with a guy named Jason one time when I was in Tulandai. He went to go see him in concert. And he said that when Manson came out on stage, they wheeled him out and he was hung up on a cross made out of television sets. He kept screaming, God is in your TV. And then he said he didn't want people to applaud for him. He wanted to walk at the front of the stage, open his mouth, and have them spit in his mouth to show their appreciation. How do we go from one to the other? I'll tell you how. Folks start getting used to the dark, to where they don't even care about it anymore. When was Presley, when did he start becoming Big Brother? You remember? 50-something? 60 years, that's where it's got, in just 60 years. We could also take ladies' fashion, for example. Now, not long ago, people were absolutely distraught and dismayed by women who had become so heathenistic and so unashamed of themselves that they threw all public decency aside and they had the audacity to storm our nation's beaches while wearing nothing more than full bloomers and swim caps. And you know what a full bloomer is? Ever seen them pictures? I think they're hilarious. But I mean, they go. But what it looks like, if you haven't seen it, if you've ever been to the hospital and somebody's getting ready to have surgery, especially Goshen Hospital, they give them the purple gown that they blow up with hot air. Okay, that's a woman's full bloomer, you know. It comes down to here and it wrapped around their arms and then it went well past their knee, you know, and it was striped and all this stuff and they put a swim cap. And when that happened, people were like, I can't believe these ladies are doing this. Where's your public decency? Now they don't wear anything more than dental floss and peanut shells. And that's to Walmart. I'm not even talking about the beach. Folks, it's gotten so bad I'm serious about this. It's gotten so bad that I wonder if you would look in a dictionary that was made in 2012 if the word immodesty would even be found in it. Because that's irrelevant. That's illogical. How else is a girl going to gain a guy's attention?
Your mother? That's stupid.
How does it get from one extreme to the other? You know, we're going to be married 20 years in just a couple years. This June, it's going to be 18 that I've had my wonderful bride. I'm excited about that. And I'm trying to figure out ways to save up a little bit of money so when we hit big 20, I'm going to take her someplace real nice. Okay. So I've been stopping at different places trying to ask around because we want to find a secluded spot because, you know, if people are running around in peanut shells and dental floss, I don't want to have to see it. But if God made beaches and they're beautiful and I can be one that's secluded, I'd like to be there. And there ain't nothing wrong with that either. So I was asking this lady, I was visiting somebody up at the South Bend Hospital there at Memorial, and I was driving back down on Michigan and stopped in at this travel agency, and I said, "Ma'am, you know, this is what we'd like to do. I'm a holiness preacher, blah blah blah, and you know, so we want the secluded spot. Do you have any possible idea of anything that could work? Because let's face it, that's kind of the needle in the haystack. You know what I mean? But it's worth a try." And she said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing you want to do. Don't go to the Caribbean." And I said, "Well, why?" And she said, "Well, probably 80% of the women don't wear tops there." Well, that's a good idea. Thanks for that one. I appreciate that. Okay. So then, you know, I stopped I'm going to be real careful because some of you would know who this is, but I stopped at a travel agency. I will tell you that much. And went in there. It was a different one. And I told them the same deal. I'm really wanting to take my wife somewhere nice, somewhere secluded, you know, that we can enjoy the beach but not have to see people. And I realize it's going to cost more money, whatever it is. I just want to know, is something like that even an option? Is it available? And here's what she said to me, which was totally against anything I just got done saying, but here's what she said. She said, "You need to try a resort called hedonism." Now, I don't know if you, I mean, as soon as she said that, do you know what hedonism means in the Greek? The fulfilling and gratifying of your flesh. A little red flag might want to pop up, you know what I mean? I thought, okay. I said, "Well, what's it like?" And they said, "Well, you can do whatever you want there. I mean, if you don't even..." I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm trying to make a point, okay? You don't even have to wear clothes if you don't want to. It's 18 and older. You just do whatever you want to. And she goes to a church that if I would mention the name, you'd know who she was and you'd know what the church was. That was her suggestion for my my 20-year honeymoon thing. So we never took one. Folks, the sad fact is that 80 or 100 years ago, almost everyone dressed according to holiness principles. And now you got to pull teeth just to try to get the ladies in the church to do it. Why? Folks, it's getting used to the dark. People will argue and they'll say, what is so important about this stuff? This is so, if you want to know what's so important about modest dress, look back 100 years ago, look at the problems that they had, and look at all the problems we have today, and try to figure out why. Fourth thing we're going to look at, and I'm probably not going to make any friends here either. You can even take a look at today's politicians. Is an example. Now, if there's one thing I get sick of, it's people talking bad about politicians and all the stuff that goes on during those news shows and on the radio. This one talking bad about that. Well, man, just stand up for your own stuff. If people like you, they'll vote for you. You ain't got to talk bad about anybody else. That's one thing. I don't even get into politics hardly anymore because it's so disgusting the way that they conduct themselves. That's all I'm going to say. But here's what I want you to understand. One thing that has become crystal clear when it comes to the political climate of today is that the words personal character and politician don't even have to belong in the same sentence. As a matter of fact, if there's two words that would be more fitting, it would be politician and sex scandal. It's Wednesday night. We're adults in here. I can say that. Ain't nothing wrong with saying that anyway. It says it in the Bible. For instance, this is just in the past 10 years, actually the past 7 years. There was a Florida representative named Mark Foley that was caught sending lewd messages to teenage boys that were working at his page in his office. Now, you know what a page is? I mean, they go and they learn how the government works. They learn how things are going. And he was texting them sexually perverted, homosexual charged messages to them to where people found out about it. And he was voted in as a Florida representative. a Republican Florida representative. In New York, there was a representative named Chris Lee. Remember, this is all within the past 7 years. That was caught sending nude pictures of himself to some girl on Craigslist. Classy guy. Glad he's making my laws. There was another New York governor named Elliot Spitzer that was exposed for spending tens of thousands of dollars on all different kinds of prostitutes while he was supposed to be working. There was a Minnesota senator named Larry Craig that was caught publicly in an airport bathroom engaging in homosexual activity. Even Bill Clinton at the end, you know, when he was the president of the United States, had an extramarital affair and even went on to lie about it when he was under oath. And what about good old Gary Condon, California representative? You all remember hearing about him? I mean, he had that affair with his intern and all of a sudden she comes up missing. It's kind of convenient, isn't it? And for all those years, man, the leading suspect in that kidnapping and murder was guess who? The person those sorry folks voted in, thinking he was going to be some great guy, but they found out real quick he wasn't. And unfortunately, there's all kinds of examples I could use like that. And these are our nation's leaders. You know, here's what was baffling me as I was thinking about this. I mean, we had great men of old that would use statements like this. Give me liberty or give me death. I'd get behind something like that. To vote in some moron in California who's famous for saying, I'll be back. Really? That's where we've gotten. He probably can't even tie his shoes himself. Really, that's who we voted in. Or I did. You all understand what I'm saying? Now, after looking at all those different examples, whether it be in the movies, music, fashion, or politicians, I want to close just by asking you a question. What do you think society's reaction would have been to all of those examples that I just gave you 80 to 100 years ago? You think they would have been accepted? Think they would have been tolerated? Do you think people would have allowed it to take place? Well, the answer is obvious. They would have stopped it before it ever started. But the sad thing is people don't even bat an eye at any of those things today. And the reason why is very simple. They've gotten used to the dark. It's gotten to the place that freaks like Marilyn Manson, and again, I'm not talking bad about him, but he's a freak, folks. Don't even get people's attention anymore. I tried looking through a guitar magazine because I like to play guitar, and I had some guy in there, Rob Zombie, and his little guitar player, whoever they are, and they had pig's blood poured all over them. Pieces of pig lay. I mean, this was in a national magazine, Guitar World. Why do they got to do that? Because Marilyn Manson ain't enough. He just has people spit in his mouth. He just dresses up like a chick on stage and comes out on a cross made of TVs. He's not a big deal anymore. Man, you got to get out the pig blood if you want some attention these days. Law-breaking presidents get voted back into office instead of convicted for perjury. Half-naked people prancing all over Goshen, Indiana aren't thought of as weird. They're thought of as normal. And us freaky Christians are looked down on because we might have a problem with it. And it's all because people have become used to the dark. Sister, if you go ahead and come to music, I appreciate it. Tonight, the only thing I'm trying to show you is how serious and how real this problem has actually gotten in the United States of America and in the whole world. This subtle progression of sin that Satan has taken our society through has worked. And because of it, we need to take it very seriously. He's been very purposeful. He's been very patient and he has been very persistent. And because of his success, the people of God need to become very prayerful about it. This problem is a lot bigger and a lot more extensive than a lot of people might think. And as we begin preaching on this in further sermons, further messages, I think you're going to find out just how more prevailing it is than what we'd like to think, and how much of an effect it has on us than what we might like to think. Tonight's easy to amen, folks. I just walked out of my office with Brother Keplinger. Me and him dressed normal. We came out of here. I mean, we didn't have no crosses made out of TV. I mean, Brother Streeter was a musician up here playing bass, but he didn't even get the pig's blood out. I mean, he just was normal. And we can look at these guys and think, man, this is wild. We can say, well, I don't watch those filthy television programs. I don't listen to that kind of music. I don't. Well, I wonder if it has a little bit more of an effect on us than what we'd like to think. So what I want you to do as we come down and pray, if you go ahead and stand, is I just want you to come down and very openly before God say, Lord, it's very obvious that this is taking place. All you got to do is study the history of the world in the past 100 years, and you'll see that by all means what I said tonight is true. And here's what I want you to do. Lord, help me to really get a good understanding of the seriousness of this. I don't really want you to go any farther than that. I went over the course of this week until next Wednesday, which I really feel like God's going to have me preach on this again, just to be praying, God, please help me to be open to seeing the seriousness of this. I want you to think about the fact that what I said was true. Think about your own examples. Start to look out in our society that things that go on that you remember would have never gone on even when you were a kid. And say, Lord, help me to see the seriousness of this, because I believe that He's really wanting to. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and we thank You so much for who You are, for everything that You've done, and for the important things that You try so desperately to show us. Lord, we realize that You don't want us to be ignorant of our enemy's devices, but You want us to be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is and what the will of the Lord is. So, Lord, I pray as we gather around these altars, You'll help us to see the reality of what we talked about in this message and the seriousness of what we talked about in this message. And, Lord, we pray that You would burn them both deeply upon our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's come and pray.